the October 10th, 2024 meeting of the Law Enforcement Government Services Committee to order. Roll call by Deputy Clerk.
Chair Kovacs.
Here.
Deputy Chair Levine.
Here.
Legislator Gabarus.
Present.
Legislator Hanset.
Here.
Legislator Harlow.
Present.
Legislator Kitchen. Legislator Uchitel.
Here.
And Legislative Chair Criswell.
Here.
You have 7 members present, 1 absent.
Thank you. Please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to your important portion of the earth, thank you for being on this
opportunity. Please remain standing for a brief moment of silence in honor of our late County Clerk, Edith Osterbeck. Thank you.
Who's read this song?
Approval of the December 12th, 2024 meeting minutes. Is there a motion?
Motion.
Motion made. Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Minutes approved. Resolutions for the October 15th session. Number 1, Resolution 358, adopting proposed local law number 5 of 2024, a local law amending Section 827-2B of the Code for the County of Ulster to ensure proper staffing levels at the Ulster County Board of Elections.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to postpone Resolution 358.
Is there a second?
Second.
For 1 month?
For 1 month, yes.
Second. Before we go, I just want to update you all. A couple weeks ago, Deputy Chair and I met with both commissioners. We discussed this local law. They would like us to revamp the local law to ensure an explicit mandated staffing at the Board of Elections. So, for example, for every 20,000 registered voters, they would have X number of employees. And I told the commissioners to work with council, and we would come up with a local law. And they're busy right now, obviously. So the November session, the November committee meeting, we should have a law for you to review. With that, there's a motion and second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none. Motion to postpone is approved. Resolution 447, requiring advanced diversity, equity, and inclusion training for all Ulster County elected officials. We have a new version of this resolution, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
We need to amend current resolution to bring that forward. So Legislator Harmon has revised this resolution. Is there a motion to amend the current resolution?
I move to amend as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, the amended resolution is on the floor. Legislator Harmon, would you like to comment on it?
Sure. As I was thinking about this, it occurred to me that perhaps an example is the best way to make clear the intent of this and what is distinct about what we are proposing here and why I believe it to be so important. So if you'll indulge me for a minute, Chair. Thank you. How many of us in this room have grandparents who were born before 1920? Any idea when their grandparents were born? Had to be somewhere in the mid-1800s. How many of you learned at least part of your worldview, for good or ill, from your grandparents? They learned their worldview, for good or ill, from their grandparents. So history isn't really history. It's way more current than we like to believe that it is. And so when we think about that and we think about policy, it's really important to understand how those move forward with us, whether we are aware of it or not. So, for instance, do you know the history of the Electoral College or why states' rights were so important? They were important to give slaveholding states power when they didn't have it. because they didn't have enough voting population. So we had to come up with a different way to go about that. That was the Electoral College. We're still holding that as if it is somehow sacred to our way of being, but we've forgotten why we have it in the first place. That's a policy that directly impacts some of us more than others. Property taxes, there's a local one. Property taxes determine school funding, which means it's hyper-local. And when you combine that with policies like redlining, you're guaranteeing that some people have inferior schools. We don't need to say separate but equal because we found another way to do it. So policies that we take for granted have major impact. And that is what I'm proposing. We as electeds have a responsibility to understand, to serve all of our constituencies. I hope that was helpful.
Thank you, Leslie. I certainly agree with you that knowledge of history is super important for us as legislators. You know, we all learned history in school, probably not well enough. And, you know, it's certainly clear that racial and ethnic minorities in this country have not been treated all the time with dignity and respect they deserve, going back to 1776 or 1619. I do believe that the history must be taught in a fair, unbiased manner, which is a concern of mine. But, you know, we can argue about the substance all day. And I, to be honest with you, I would love to have a chat with you about this in a non-committee meeting.
Yes.
But, you know, this is a requiring inclusion training, diversity training for elected officials. And I'm concerned, do we have the power, authority to do that at this point in time? And for that, I would ask council, do we need to make a change to the charter to require this? Can we require it? These are questions that I think would affect how we can properly, if we even have the college to implement this. I'd like council to speak on that first.
I'd like to, something I want to research. I'm not able to give you an on-the-fly response to that, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Majority leader.
I'd love to sharpen the point and then hear from majority council. Just to clarify, this is requiring that the training be provided, not that the training be compulsory. I think if you were to introduce a requirement of the office, that would require a charter change, the requirement that you complete the training. That's not what anyone's proposing. So I just want to sharpen that point, and I'd love to hear from majority council.
Yes, majority council.
So the resolve, the first resolve, as the amended version sets forth, was that the first one of the record coordinates the chief diversity office job and advance rank that designated the civic of interest capacity as leader appropriate to all policymakers. The second resolve just provides that the GDI training shall be scheduled for cooperation with the county executive, the members of the Austin Intellectual Church, this attorney, sheriffs, clerk, comptrollers. And I think, as I noted in the prior meeting, it's my understanding that the county executive's office, again, don't want to speak to her, but that they have reviewed this and had no objection to it. I don't see a legal evidence to the passage of this.
So it's my understanding that the county executive's office is willing to do this. So I said it last month, and I'll say it again. Then why do we need this? If they're going to do it, typically we set policy where the deck is either not on the same page or it's something that we need to do because it's not going forward otherwise. This is the complete opposite. This is the exec actually saying, yes, I'm going to do this whether you make this or not. My understanding is the exec's office is going to do this. Whether we pass this or not, this training will become available. Mm-hmm. That's my understanding. If I'm wrong, please correct me, but that was my understanding.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In response to Legislator Gavaris's comment, I think my understanding of what this resolution would be offering, I mean, yes, right now the current administration is on board with this and wants to be offering this to all legislators. But, you know, that might not be the case of all future executives in Ulster County. And by passing this resolution, today, you know, or, you know, if we pass this through committee today and pass it on the floor, and it's signed by the executive, no matter who the future executive is, they will be bound to this. So they will have to provide this, even if they, you know, don't want to, if they're of a different persuasion and don't believe this is necessary. If this resolution is passed, then they will be bound legally to do this.
Council.
Yeah, so I initially said I would like to research the point further, the question further, and I would. But I can react on the fly, I guess, just to what our majority leader had kind of characterized this as making training available. As I'm reading the final resolve, it's a requirement. So if that is a distinguishing issue, I think that should be addressed. You're making it a requirement within 60 days of being sworn into office for essentially every high official in the county, some of which had their own constitutional and statutory, you know, requirements for holding and prosecuting office. So that is a distinguishing factor that was raised, I think, should be addressed. Mr.
Thomas?
I was going to make the same point.
Okay.
So if that is the holdup, then if we were to amend to say that this training must be offered within 60 days of being sworn into office, we've no longer made it mandatory.
I think that's one change. I'd look at the other results and then make sure there's nothing else that's mandatory. If you really want to make it, just go all the way.
Right. I mean, to be clear, I think this is important enough that it should be mandatory. I understand that that may not be what we are able to do within the bounds of the charter. But if we believe it to be important, then I also believe that we can find a way to make this as widely available as possible. If we're uncomfortable with it, I also believe we can find every way possible to derail it.
Let's see if I can digress.
Yeah, to in response to legislator
Levine's. Sorry,
that's okay.
Me for a second.
Yeah, I mean, the reverse is true. This body could change in 2 years or a year and then a half, a quarter, whatever we're up to, and we could change this policy again. So to say that this is a solution in search of a problem, this is, if the exec's office is willing to do this already, it's going to be offered. I just don't see the, I don't know, I guess, I don't see it to be
adjustment.
Council. May I just respectfully offer some amended language? In the second resolve, Lieutenant Jack scheduled four, but it was offered. And then the third resolve, Lieutenant Jack completed and substitute that with offered.
You get that?
Scheduled and completed, correct?
Offered and offered, yeah.
Correct. You have to who's next?
Counsel. I keep getting the lawyers saying what I'm going to say.
I'd like to, I'm about to make a motion to make those amendments. So I move that the second resolve strike schedule four and replace it with offered, and that the third resolve strike completed within, if it's strike completed and replace it with offered. So strike scheduled four, replace with offered, strike completed, replace with offered
is the title.
I'll second.
And then the title, updating the title to requiring the offering of
requiring the offering of advanced literacy.
Requiring the offering?
Yeah.
Oh. It's just training offer. Be offered to.
Or offering.
I would say offering advanced diversity.
Oh, wait.
No. Training for all.
Right. So.
Why don't we just strike required and replace it with providing?
Here's fine.
It's in the title.
In the title. So the title is replacing required with providing.
And then the board to.
And then for, yep, yeah, exactly. Offer to rather than schedule for. Yep, providing. Yep.
What final answer on the title? Sorry.
Providing the providing advanced diversity, equity, and inclusion training for all.
Two. Ulster can.
You can't provide four.
Yes, you provide two.
Sure. For no, providing two. Fine. Providing advanced diversity, equity, and inclusion training to all Ulster County elected officials.
So that's the motion to amend. And we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Just want to let the deputy clerk.
Yeah, thank you.
Before we were on the amendment.
I'm making any your own new test.
Okay. Is everyone clear on what the amendment is? Okay. Any further discussion on the amendment?
Clarifying questions, Chair?
Yes.
It says within 60 days of taking office, so in terms of current sitting term, we would offer this as soon as possible. I just wanted to clarify that that's everything.
Okay. So on the amendment, all in favor?
Aye.
I agree.
Aye.
Any opposed? Amendment passes.
Okay.
Further discussion on the resolution. See none? Let's do a roll call.
Right. On the resolution as amended, as amended. I just want someone to say.
I'd like to move that we adopt with the amendment that was presented and the amendments that were offered in committee.
Perfect. Second. Roll call.
Gavaris.
No.
Hanson.
No.
Harmon.
Yes.
Levine.
Aye.
Buchetel.
Yes.
Kovacs.
No.
Criswell.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted as amended, 4-3.
Okay, resolution 544, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $649,943, entered into by the county, NCA Comp, Inc., Department of Insurance. I believe there's a representative from the Insurance Department. Would you like to speak on this resolution?
Only if there are questions. This is on PPO.
Got it.
I'll move to adopt.
Motion to adopt. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Resolution is adopted. Number four, resolution number 553, adopting proposed local law number 9, 2024, local law providing real property tax exemption of the county portion of the real property taxation and special ad valorem levies for the creation of new assembly dwelling units.
I'm not sure
about that. Motion to adopt. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion. I have a question for council. We are implementing, this resolution would implement a state law that provides for exemptions for new accessory dwelling units. In the state law, there's no provision regarding affordable housing or short-term rentals, but in the current proposal, we are prohibiting that. Is that what that to create new restrictions on state law?
Yeah, my general response to that is well-served in consulting with the State Department of Taxation and Finance. Whenever you enact a local law that is by state tax legislation, so that you ensure that it's consistent with the state of law. So if there's a question, that should certainly be investigated.
Any further discussion?
Okay.
We have the director of planning here. I don't know if Director Doyle has a comment on that particular point.
Sure.
So we did reach out and
for clarification, particularly with respect to this resolution, as I recall, unless it's been amended, not the affordability question. It does deal with the short-term rental question. And we did reach out, and it's our understanding that from the state folks that you can go beyond what the law said or its respective restriction. I would also say that the city of Kingston has adopted nearly an identical taxing policy with respect to their 421E2, as I recall.
Yeah, reading the state law, 421P, number 2, and it states that a city, county, suburb may reduce the percentage of exemption and limit eligibility to those forms of improvements that prescribes. Doesn't say we can put any other restrictions on it. That's my concern.
Yeah, the fact that the city thinks it's enacted the law provides me with no comfort, and that's no comment on the city thinking. It's just that, local laws get overturned all the time. And so my concern would be if the state provided something in writing, which is a council of this, that you can confirm, this is comports with the state enabling legislation, and I would have some degree of comfort there.
Ms. Gavaris.
If I don't know who seconded it, but if they will withdraw their second, I'll withdraw my motion and permission to postpone 1 month to get the results in writing. I don't know who seconded
it. You made the motion, right?
I made the motion.
I made the second.
So if they'll withdraw a second, I'll withdraw my motion.
I will withdraw my second.
I'll withdraw the motion and then I'll make a motion to postpone 1 month to get some writing clarification as to whether or not it's allowed.
Okay. So the motion to postpone, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Further discussion? Okay. Motion to postpone. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. You opposed? Okay. One opposed? Okay.
Can I ask Director Doyle what the ramifications of postponing is?
So from my perspective, I don't believe the ramifications are significant because of the way the taxable year starts.
March 1st.
Which would give us enough time relative to the taxable status.
We were in the middle.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. Let's finish the vote. And so is all in favor of one with one nay?
I'll be in favor with that explanation. Thank you.
But, sir, you still your nay.
I'm still a nay. I want to push the state on this. I actually want them to be upset.
All right. So it's most of the opponents adopted with one opposition. You had a comment? I'm sorry.
No need to apologize. I was just going to say that I agree. There's no reason to wait, except that if postponing 1 month creates clarity and buy-in, then I consider it a worthwhile use of 30 days. That's my only.
Noted. Okay. Moving on, number 5, Resolution 554, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 11-2024, a local law amending the Ulster County Charter and amending the administrative code for the County of Ulster to modify various provisions relating to certain departments and duties. To be held on Tuesday, November 19th, 2024, 7:10 p.m. Is your motion to adopt?
Just a question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question to the sponsor in regards. This is just a technical. These are technical changes, just in terms of.
I can make the explanation.
Thank you.
Is anyone missing the summary page that the clerk's office prepared for us on this law? Everyone has that?
I can also give a summary of the summary.
That would be great.
So, thank you. As you all know, Charter Revision Commission did a lot of work. I want to thank them, first of all, publicly for all the work that they did. They came up with dozens of recommendations, and we did not pass them last session. So what I've been working on with the clerk of the legislature is to break them up into smaller bite size and life pieces. And so this piece is really technical. It's very much about clarifying, updating to what the current reality is language, clearing up some gender language so that we're being more gender neutral. That's really what all this is. There's no significant changes to major charter changes. It's really technical and language changes. And you can look through all of them. I worked with the clerk here to do a lot of those changes. So if there's any specific questions on any of those, I'm sure she can answer them.
Supervisor Baden.
Yeah, actually, no longer supervisor. That's okay. Actually, here wearing my chair of the county planning board hat. Just have a question of clarification of understanding the language of Section 9 that seems to give the county planning board the authority, direction, and control over the Department of Planning, and including power to appoint, remove officers and employees of the department. Trying to understand, A, how we could do that, and B, why we would want to do that. But it's just, when I read this section, it's calling for clarification of what I believe I'm reading. And if I'm reading it incorrectly, by all means, I would love to be correct.
So. Chair Criswell, can you?
Yeah, I'm trying to find out where you
not
are.
Nine.
So nine.
Well, it's Section 9 of the Local Law.
Section 6. So that's almost
good. Sorry, I was talking about the Local Law.
So Section 6.
Powers and Planning Board of Directors.
Right. And what's exactly your concern here?
Well, it seems to say, it says the director of planning and or the county planning board shall perform such other and related duties as required by the county executive or county legislature. That's the existing. And then it's the addition of the and shall be vested.
I think the intention is not to have planning board in that section.
Yeah. Well, that's why.
The intention of this was just to include the director as the department head.
Right.
So we can amend it to strike that.
Okay.
That sounds good. That's what we try to do holistically was have director insert it where it was not throughout. So thank you for catching that.
Do we
need to amend that right now?
It also leads to question of whether the planning director has the authority of civil service employees, and I don't know the answer to that.
So it's going to be consistent throughout all the departments, and civil service will trump all of the, like, we're not
fair enough
making that clarification. It already exists in other departments, and then this is making them standard across all departments within the county.
And I apologize for appearing here. I couldn't come to the
podium. Oh, I'm good.
So I figured it would be all better good to come here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Did council have anything to add?
We do.
We do. Wonderful.
Yeah, so maybe we can just add after the word and before the word shall phrase the planning director. So we make it clear that we're just resting on planning director with that
important. There it
is. And the director of planning.
Oh, it's at the beginning of the sentence.
Yeah.
It is at the beginning of the sentence there.
So
I misunderstood.
Do we want to remove and or the time?
That's what the...
No, that's the existing charter.
Right, which we're amending here.
So it says county executive or county legislator and shall be vested. Is that what you're talking about, adding an and in a shall?
Yes.
It's already there.
And it shall, the planning director.
Right.
So we make it clear that's the position of vested with this authority.
It's a horrible sentence.
Council, what section are we looking at?
I believe it's page 5 of the
real page 5, section 6. Second sentence says the director of planning and or the county planning board shall perform. So I'm just curious why council doesn't want me to just strike and it will read the director of planning shall perform other such related duties, blah, 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 in the bold text. Section 7 covers the authority of the legislature to direct the planning board separately, if that was your concern.
That's one of the concerns, but there's different ways to, you know, peel the apple, as they say.
So what's the sentence?
Why don't we, council could think about that. Let's look at ours.
Well, it's related to it. So this is just setting the public hearing. Why don't we just, you got a month to do all the changes you want, send it back so we can, we have to make the amendment anyway. So let's just, okay, instead of sitting here trying to hash it out with pen and paper, come back to us with
actual. Yeah, that makes sense. Let's hear comments.
I believe the intended wording might be best. The director of planning and board, the county planning board shall perform such other and related duties as required by the county executive or county legislature. That's as of now, the way it's now.
Mm-hmm.
And the director of planning shall be vested with blah, blah, blah. So it identifies the director of planning as only being vested.
Right, but then you would essentially eliminate section 7. Because the section 7 is the section that's authorizing the legislature to direct the planning board, which is not currently allowable in the charter.
It's different. There's different things there, but we should probably take advantage as legislative of ours, which you heard the bills if you look at.
Okay. Is there a motion? Motion to move to public hearing. Is there a second?
A second.
Second. Further discussion? Seeing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Post?
Yes.
Post seeing none. Resolution number 555, setting a public hearing on Coles Local Law number 12, 2024, a local law amending Article 2 of the Administrative Code of the Town of Gloucester in relation to certain employment restrictions beyond Tuesday, November 19th at 7:15 p.m. This was sponsors are legislative Maloney and Stewart. Neither of them are here tonight. Let's do Varys.
Okay, so Russian, when did this first get introduced, this legislation? What was the original date?
Resolution deadline.
No, this isn't new. This is actually.
This is new.
This is new.
Different.
Yes, you're the same thing we were talking
it's
about.
It's almost the same thing, but it's new. It's, Legislator Stewart feels strongly about this.
Yeah, I always say, if you haven't seen it, it's New Year.
Can I explain this? Can I explain the history for you?
So earlier in the year, if I may, there was a local law proposal to move the restrictions on employment from 1 year to 5 year. Came here. It was revised to 3 years. I believe it was defeated in this committee. And that was May, June or so. And this is a brand new resolution that would enact a 2 year restriction on employment. Does that answer your question?
Great taste, less filling. Got it.
I'll make the motion for plus 1 left.
Sorry. Is there a second?
Yeah. A second.
What's your vote?
On the motion to postpone. Tavares?
Yes.
Hansett?
Yes.
Harmon?
Yes.
Levine?
Yes.
Buchitel?
Yes.
Kovacs?
Yes.
Criswell?
Yes.
Tavares?
Yes, yeah.
We said yes, I got fast. We know how to count now.
He doesn't get charged.
That's a double yes.
The one vote for Gavaris, 7-0.
Right. Thank you. Number 7, resolution. 556, amending the rules of order as they relate to decorum at legislative session and legislative committee meetings.
Thank you, Chair Kovacs, and members of the committee. I want to take a moment to clarify a few points in response to recent media coverage about Resolution 556 and the ongoing work to strengthen our rules of decorum. First, it's important to stress that the consideration of this resolution has been underway since January of 2024, when I became chair. It has always been about ensuring that all members of this body, regardless of political party or opinion, can engage in respectful and civil debate. It is not, as was suggested, a reaction to any one incident or specific legislator. We, as the Ulster County Legislature, operate under rules we agree to at the start of each session. While we do reference Robert's Rules of Order as a framework, our own rules supersede them. This resolution is aimed at providing more clarity on how those rules should be applied to ensure productive and dignified meetings. I want to make it abundantly clear that this resolution is not intended to stifle debate or silence any legislator. Debate is central to our democracy, but it must be done in a manner that is respectful, without personal attacks, inflammatory language, or baseless accusations. This resolution reflects the values of decency, respect, and professionalism. I hope that moving forward, we can all embrace those values and conduct our work in a way that allows every voice to be heard fairly and respectfully.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to comment on that. The Chair asked me to work with him on this, and I agree with the end goal of refining these rules to enhance decorum. I think that article in Freeman was a little bit, I think he was trying to manufacture some drama that isn't there. But I agree with you on the end goal, which is to enhance the rule of decorum, and look forward to resolving this process with you. Legislator Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As was said earlier today, I think this is a resolution in search of a problem where it's not needed. I have been part of this committee for the last 16 plus years in various roles. Every time we had made a rule change, we've always, a major rule change, or a series of changes, we've always had a working group or committee come up with a resolution, not written by one or two legislators. And that's built on where a couple of things don't make sense to me. And, you know, where you're going to revoke the member's speaking privileges. You're taking away the right of to receive representation of their the people that elected them. You're actually going to expel a member from the meeting, get out. How is that even possible? And go on, there's another word that says deviating from topic, using poor time that's unrelated to matters will not be tolerated. This current chair has given a lot of latitude to Democrats that have gone way off topic. And I can speak clearly, I've been shut down rather quickly if I drift off topic momentarily. So, I mean, to me, this is not fair. It gives too much power to a chair of a committee or the body. And we should take a good look at this as a group and not to build it, in this committee as it is presented.
Thank you. Legislator Collins?
Yeah, I'm concerned about the revoking a member's speaking privileges. I'm also concerned about expelling a member. Expelling a member may be problematic in a subcommittee where that member, if expelled, loses meaningless quorum. Just one example of that. I do feel like, as elected officials, we are responsible for our behavior. We should be respectful for each other. I believe a lot of the rules that we have in place already call for that. I don't know that it makes sense to be able to kick an elected official out of their elected office, essentially. They've been chosen by the population to be here, by their voters to be here. And yes, they can be obnoxious. We don't like that. But saying you can't be at a meeting is basically taking away the representation of that person and their constituents.
I want to note, I think there might be some confusion over ejecting a member and expelling a member. I think, I want to speak for Chair Griswold, but I think your position was we can eject a few members from the meeting if they're, if they're causing a disturbance, but we're not expelling them as a member of the legislature.
That's correct.
Okay.
It's a, can I clarify that? It's about everybody's safety. That's the reason for that.
You're not removing them from office.
Correct.
Making them leave the room.
Correct.
Okay. That was your.
Thank you. So the flip side argument could be made that if we allow one person to be outside of our rules of decorum, such that it grinds the work of the body to a halt, that is actually preventing all of us from representing our constituencies. The 99 or the 1.
Sorry, those are your first. Yeah, so let's clarify what you were saying. You're saying we can, or that you were just clarifying what this language is sort of intending to mean? Because I'm not getting counsel's opinion on this.
I think it was both. It was, I believe your intent was to never make it ejected from the meeting if they're causing a disturbance, but we're not expelling them from this chamber.
Correct.
And I don't believe we can expel, but we can eject.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, that's, to me, it's very concerning, and especially speaking privileges. Some of this I agree with, some I don't, especially this last part. But can we get clarification as to what is the threshold? Where does it cross the line? And when you reach, you're expelling somebody? I'd like to know the parameters here. This is very scary.
I think that's really the one of the main sticking points right now is at what level does a chair, may the chair eject the member? Yes. Let's hear your answer.
I just want to say, as someone that has been in a situation where this would occur, it's very difficult to sit in session and have one legislator say to another legislator, let's take this outside and fight after the meeting. And for me, that's not okay. There should be, whatever this looks like, I agree that we need to look at this and maybe we need to make some adjustments or, but there is a certain level of behavior that should be, and it should not be at a county legislative meeting where you are saying, let's go outside. That should not be for them, for myself, for anybody. And I think that all of us, again, have to feel comfortable and safe in our work environment. And that's what this is. This is a work environment.
First. Yeah, so Minority Leader was referring to before about the working group, and it was actually this committee that did either last year or the year before several meetings devoting just the agenda to the rules and going over them and amending them. I think this is an important topic that warrants our time and effort doing so. I would ask that we take the time for the council to research, knowing sort of the direction, what is our ability. And not just say, you know, if there is an authority to be able to expel somebody from a meeting, I don't necessarily believe it should be the chair solely who can do that. Maybe upon, you know, a majority of the members, something like that. But I certainly agree there must be a way to stop behavior like this. But I don't want to put them weaponized.
So I'm happy to postpone this and have this continue to be worked on in this committee. I have a lot of documentation that I compiled to put together what I put together, including Robert's rules, and so I'm happy to provide that to the committee. Absolutely.
We explore other counties, maybe New York, other states that have this policy. I just walked in, maybe that's something you already read.
I believe we have. I know we've been, and Electric Grid has done a lot of work on this, and I think we have looked at other county legislatures.
Can I say one more thing? I want to be clear. I don't want to push this through. That is not my intent. My intent is not to try to bully something through. My intent is for us to create a working container where we feel safe, where we all feel heard, where we feel like we can have strong debate, but that there is some sense of decorum, and the chair is the person who is running the meeting. So the chair has to feel like they can have some sense of control of what's happening in the room. Our current rules, I think, are very vague. I think we need to clarify them so that our chairs are empowered to run respectful meetings to do the people's business. And I want to see this done.
I agree with John, right? On the issue of, you know, one person having the power to expel somebody.
And that's an issue we were talking about, and I think that's one of the main sticking points at this point. Not the only one. Those are good words.
I know we're back to this, and I appreciate that. But actually, I just sort of answered my own question on this. We would have the ability to challenge the ruling of the chair anyway, so that would sort of put a...
Yes.
That would actually help us anyway. So it's...
I think the concern is if in a truly disastrous situation, does the chair have the ability to call for a vote, or do the members have the ability to overturn the role of chair if it's a truly, you know, French Revolution style meeting or something?
Just wanted to say that if there's a heated conversation going on, and it gets passionate about maybe an issue that's going to be voted on that night, and the person being expelled would make that vote go either way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's mm-hmm. something to consider also.
Mm-hmm. Certain.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a motion to postpone?
Motion.
Second.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion to postpone?
Aye.
Any opposed?
There's a one-month postponement?
1 month postponement. Opposed, seeing none. Okay. Resolution is postponed. Number 8, Resolution 557, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the Department of Housing and Urban Development for the grant funds from the Congressionally Directed Spending CDS Department of Planning. We have Mr. Boyle here. Director Boyle.
So, a few words. Thank you, Chair. I appreciate it. So, in 2023, we submitted a request for a congressional and directed spending initiative, and it was rolled over and funded in 2024. The initiative, because of the source of funds, the County of Ulster is the recipient of these monies. It's $1 million. And it's specifically authorized for the Golden Hill housing project, in the grant. The current proposal, because of the delay in the funding, recognizing the fact that the project is already under construction, creates some issues with respect to conformance to the National Environmental Policy Act. In other words, Pedros has taken a choice limiting action. So what we're proposing to do is essentially redirect these funds to discrete portions of that particular project. And there are two portions of that project that are discrete, and we believe in conversations with HUD that we'll be able to do that. And those portions are the signal at the corner of Route 32 and Golden Hill Drive. And also improvements to the city of Kingston's water supply system, which supplies water to the county's water supply system on Golden Hill. Those two improvements, one with respect to the water supply, benefit all of the users on Golden Hill, including the users that are county owned. And I would note that the county jail, the new jail, is actually providing water from the Golden Hill facility. And the other issue has to do with the traffic signal. The traffic signal would benefit not only the facility in terms of the housing facility, but also all the other uses on the hill, including your transit facility that exists on the hill. The main purpose of this resolution is to allow the planning department, as a certifying officer, issue the necessary approvals under the National Environmental Policy Act. In discussions with HUD's environmental officers as late as yesterday, we're of the opinion that we can issue something called a categorical exclusion with respect to the water supply facility. And we think that we can issue a categorical exclusion with respect to the traffic signal itself. We're currently working on that, those efforts right now, but we couldn't issue those until such time that we were given the opportunity to essentially be act as certifying officer. The importance of this as a late resolution has to do with the fact that we are ready to go to bid on the signal itself. We would anticipate that we could probably have bid documents out within the next 2 to 3 weeks. And there are significant lead times associated with signals. Those lead times have to do with mast arms and signal components, which may be as long as 12 months. Given where we are in the bidding cycle and the approval cycle and the contracting cycle, we anticipate that Penrose will finish its facilities by 2026 in terms of March, April. Their CO is conditioned by the City of Kingston Planning Board that the signal has to be operational before they can move anyone in. Similarly, their approvals are conditioned with respect to the water supply system as well. So the primary purpose here is, number one, is to allow us to make necessary environmental findings associated with that. The monies would flow to those two projects in terms of the signal and the water supply improvements.
Thank you. I just want to make one note that this is $1 million of federal funds coming to us.
And there's no match. I apologize. Thank you for doing that.
My only concern with this, Director Doyle, was it's a large amount of money, and we just received this yesterday. So I just think we have to, late resolution of this magnitude are not something we can condone. But certainly $1 million. Any other comments? No.
It's a remote to the question. About this, but just with a caveat saying that this, for this committee, I'm going to vote yes because it's late, and that's what this committee's responsibility is and reasoning. Though I do have questions and four comments. For this committee, I will make a motion to adopt.
I'll second the motion to adopt.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same thing. Forthcoming resolution, just want to make you aware, 470, this was postponed to the Energy and Environment Committee on October 1st. It's possible this will get to our committee later this year. Legislator Kitchen, I would like you to have the opportunity to vote on the previous resolutions.
Okay. We're done with the meeting then?
We're not quite done.
Okay, so on resolution 358, that is postponed. Resolution 447, I would vote no on resolution 447.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, that'll change the status of resolution 447. It's now tied 4-4, and the resolution will be defeated.
Correct. New business, I want to let all of you know there was a court case on Bell County Supreme Court. Before you leave again for this. The even year election law case, Supreme Court Justice on the law. Yes.
I'm sorry, just to clarify, Chair, there were other resolutions that Legislator Kitchen wasn't here for.
All right, so if you're going to go through them, I will.
Otherwise, it's clear of what the intent is.
I'm sorry, Legislator Kitchen, we'd like to vote on the various other resolutions.
It's still clear what the intent is.
Resolution 544, I'll vote yes. Resolution 554, setting a public hearing for the law, local law, main charter, and rules for all resolution 554, I'll vote yes. And that's it.
Thank you.
Everything else is postponed.
Thank you. All right, just want to let you be aware of the Supreme Court case from Onondaga County regarding the even year election law. That law was struck down as unconstitutional. I'm sure it will be appealed, so we'll have to revisit that at some point later in the year, early next year.
No old business. I want to remind you of upcoming meetings. Wednesday, October 30th at 4 o'clock will be budget discussion.
Here, right?
Yeah, we'll be here. The next meeting in November will be in Woodstock, November 14th, 4 o'clock. So same date and time as every month, but it will be at the Community Center in Woodstock, 56 Rock City Road, Woodstock, Missouri.
Does that do the budget hearing?
Yes, it is. Ways and Means has a budget hearing, so we're going to accommodate that next week.
No problem.
That's all. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Sure.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.